Amen. Give everyone a chance to get on and signed on. And it's good to see everyone tonight. Hope that you've had a good afternoon. Staying out of the heat. It is hot outside. And so thankful for that Southeast Georgia heat. But nonetheless, I'm thankful for air conditioning. It's a blessing to be in the air. If you would, if you've got a hymn book with you, turn over to page number 66, 66 at Calvary. Let's stand as we sing this first song, page number 66 at Calvary. Amen. Page 66, here we go. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day, the opportunity that we have to come to Your house, and Lord, to hear Your word. I pray, Father, that You would encourage us. I pray, Lord, that You would help to meet with us tonight. I know that we're all online, and Father, I'm thankful for the safety that You give us, Lord. I do pray as well that You would be with the Bond family, be with Brother Bond tonight, and Father, for Sammy Allen, and Lord, there's many others that are suffering with this virus right now, and Lord, I pray that You would just protect. Lord, I pray for the churches that, Lord, they've had some cases in them and they're not able to come. And Father, I'm thankful for the provision that You've given us and the safety, that protection that we've had. Father, as well, I do pray that You would speak to hearts right where they are. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not dependent upon coming to a building, but instead, Lord, it's about coming to You by faith. And Lord, if there's one that's watching, Lord, they need to be saved. I'm thankful that they can be saved without coming to this physical building, Lord. They can fall right where they are and call upon You. Lord, I pray that You would just speak to that heart as well. I pray for that saint that's there tonight. And Lord, maybe discouraged, just needing some encouragement tonight. I pray that You would just help and, Father, touch them in their need right now. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I told you this morning that Jeremiah had asked if we could sing There Is a Fountain. So let's turn over to page number 19. There is a fountain. And you know your preacher, I'm not going to cut any of the verses out. We're going to sing all five verses. If you're in that big of a hurry, something's wrong anyway. We've got time. We'll sing all five verses. There is a fountain, page number 19. Sing out now. I want you to think about these words as we sing them. Great words, great encouragement. And there's still a fountain today. I'm glad as I was just talking with Brother James earlier, and we were talking about the fact how bad we need this rain. The Canoochee River is just kind of a stream right now. And, you know, I'm thankful for the little bit of rain that we've got in the past week or so. But, you know, over 2,000 years, and honestly, if we'd go all the way back to the beginning, since the fall of man, there's always been a fountain, and it's never ran dry. I'm thankful that that fountain's still flowing today, and that salvation is still free today. Any that'll come, they may drink of the water of life freely. And of course, we know that it's the blood that saves. Verse number one here, there is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. On the fourth, ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowings wound supplied, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for that fountain. Amen. Still recording, Miss Spencer? Amen. Take your hymn books, turn over to page 198. Joy unspeakable. We don't sing it a whole lot, but I'm thankful I have joy that is unspeakable. You know, the half has never yet been told. I had mentioned, and some of you probably get offended at how much I say we don't know, and how much we're not capable of even knowing. And there's so much that we can't understand about the things of God, or even the glory of God. And I'd like to sing about it tonight. Joy unspeakable in the half has never yet been told. Page 198, let's stand if you're willing and able. Page 198. I have found His grace. I'm sorry, let me start a different key. I have found His grace is all come. All right, hold on a second. I have found His grace is all come. Every need, while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. On the third, I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Amen, amen. Well, grab your Bibles if you would. And we'll go back over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12. And I only want to look at one verse there tonight. And I want you to take your Bibles as well. So once you get to Revelation 12, go back to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'd like to give you some encouragement tonight. Revelation chapter 12. And we will be back and forth here. So you're going to need to use two fingers tonight and hold your place in both of them. I do have a few other verses we'll look at, but I think that this is really what we need to look and study. These two passages of Scripture tonight will be an encouragement. And really, 1 Peter just kind of goes with my first couple of points in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I want us to look at verse number 11. So when you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. And then we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13 through 19. So it'll be Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and then 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 19. So if you're there, let's stand. We'll read the Scripture tonight, and then we'll get started. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now, look, if you would, over at the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, and look at verse number 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment, because in the book of Revelation, so often we consider John to be the revelator, but it's really the revelation of Jesus Christ. I find here that there's a hope that's brought. Well, what is it? Well, we just read that in Revelation 12 and verse number 11, that we have overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and the fact that they love not their lives until the end. or until the death. Notice, if you would, verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have that we can come to Your Word. Lord, we're looking forward. I'm thankful we can gird up the loins of our mind because You have given us the revelation. Lord, we have overcome. Lord, there's nothing that, we need to go ahead and pull down some strongholds in our life, Lord. And Father, instead, stand on the truth that You've given us today. And Lord, I pray that Your will would be done. Use this message to Your glory. Father, have Your will and way through the service. Lord, reach and speak to each person where they are. And Lord, let you get the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, there's a truth that we have here. We really, I've seen some crazy things, and this world with sports is just amazing. You know, the millions and millions of dollars that go out in the sports area and the idea of sports. I was behind a kid in line at the Walmart this last week, and he was all decked out in LSU, and I couldn't help but think about Brother Glenn Vaughn, and I wonder, they've got him in a hospital gown and everything, but I wonder if his request was that it would be LSU colors. And I know how much he liked them. I remember when they stayed here at the church, and I would get here early in the morning, and he told me, he said, "Preacher, I'll have some coffee on." Now, he didn't realize I'd already brought my cup of coffee, and I had came back there, and it was time to eat breakfast, and I went back to the back, and I'm eating my breakfast and getting everything going, and he's doing his prayer letters. He's got them all laid out, and he's folding them up and the thing that was so funny, he's in an LSU t-shirt and LSU sleep pants, and now some of you would say, "Preacher, I just don't know what's so great about that." Well, it's purple and gold, and he's just a proud LSU fan. And I think about all these that, you know, even Brother Danny, when they come, and I like to give him grief about Alabama. Of course, you know, he takes it well, and he doesn't have a choice because he wants to, he's not going to offend the pastor. So he takes those punches. Now, I love Brother Danny, and I pray for him, even if he did come, if he does live in Alabama. But the truth of the matter is that there's millions and millions of dollars spent, and yet you don't know if your team's even going to win. I think about the encouragement or the excitement that they have, and they get behind their team and they get so encouraged and excited about an opportunity. One of the things that there was a man in the next aisle that had talked to this guy that was, he was all decked out in LSU, and he had asked him if we're going to have a team this year, if we're going to be able to play. And everyone's talking about how we've got sports. In fact, I remember when the governor was speaking and he's talking about trying to get it to where we can have a football season. And listen, it's amazing at how much emphasis is put on. And it's all in the idea of being able to win or being able to say that your team has done the best. But I find in Revelation chapter number 12 that we can find that we're already the winner. And so many times I love the song, "I'm on the winning side." Boy, you know, there was a time we were drifting out in sin, and then the Savior took me in, and now I'm on the winning side. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what else is going on. It doesn't matter what else takes place. That we've already overcome, and there's one way. There's one passage of Scripture here that tells us the recipe to overcome Satan. Now, I'm thankful that he's already defeated. He's already defeated. He's already a loser. We already had looked at that this morning in verse number 12. He knows he's got but a short amount of time. He knows that his end is done. It's already set. He's already been sentenced, and soon he's going to be serving out that sentence. Those 1,000 years that he's going to be bound is nothing compared to the eternity that he's going to spend in the lake of fire being tormented. And he knows that. And he's already defeated, but may I remind you, he can cause trouble in our life. He can cause problems. But God, in verse number 11, gives us the knowledge that we can overcome. That's what he said, and they overcame. You know, there's something to be said about looking at how we too can succeed and overcome Satan. Isn't it amazing? And we always look back at, I'm not going to preach about the dead saints on the wall here, but even those, why do we have the King James Bible and all those that had died so that we could have it? Why do we have the church that we have today and those that had died? And where are those today that are willing to go all the way for the Lord? Well, we'd have to look back and see how they did it. Just because they didn't have the same type of distractions, just because they didn't have the same type of opportunities to pull them away, may I tell you, they only overcame by these three items that's found in verse number 11. The very same recipe that we need to apply in our life today. If we're going to defeat the devil, if we're going to defeat Satan in our life to where we can say, as Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." If we're going to be able to say that, it's going to be because we've got the knowledge, but then we've applied this. May I tell you that you'll never defeat Satan with a do-it-yourself attitude. I'm all about do-it-yourself. If I can do something, I'm not going to pay someone else to do it for me. I'm going to figure out how, and boy, I'm thankful for technology that gives us the opportunity to look up things that we don't understand. And we can get a little bit of knowledge on it, and then we can go through and we can apply it. And boy, I'm telling you, I have saved hundreds and thousands of dollars about being able to do it yourself. But may I tell you, spiritually, you'll never do it yourself. You'll never defeat Satan in your own power. And hold your place now in those two verses, in 1 Peter and then in the book of Revelation. But I want you to look at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. I want you to look at verse number 10. Of course, this passage of Scripture is speaking about the armor of God. And that God's given us this ability that we can stand. And some of you would say, "Well, preacher, I'm going to overcome him." No, he showed us how we can overcome him, but we're going to have all of it. It's not going to be a pick or choose. So many times in our life, we think that we could have two of the three. In verse number 11 of Revelation 12, we get three areas that we've got to focus. Three places that we've got to put emphasis in our life in order to overcome him. In verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice this. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What's he saying? You're going to need the whole armor. You're going to need everything that God has given us that we can stand against him. Notice on down into verse number 16, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I bring this to our emphasis because I want us to not get most of the fiery darts, to not be prepared for most of the battle. No, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on everything that God's given. And so I look and I find in verse number 11 that there's three areas. And we must have all three. If you're ever going to defeat Satan, it's going to be the application. It's going to be applying these to your life. And so, do you want to get all the darts? Do you want to stand all the way? Do you want all the armor? This is how it's done. First of all, by the blood of the Lamb. I find in in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11, it starts off with, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Boy, there is no such thing as being able to overcome him on your own power. No such thing as being able to overcome him and the one that holds death. If you would remember that, He's the one that holds death. But I'm thankful that it was the blood of the Lamb that Jesus came and He shed and He died on that cross, that now Satan cannot bind anyone into hell. Satan cannot bind anyone. Jesus gave them life. It's by the blood of the Lamb, and so I find the price of the purchase. Go back over to 1 Peter. I'm back over to 1 Peter. I want you to look at verse number 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers. I want us to stop right there. There's many out there that are deceived to the point that they think that it's because of something that they've done, it's because of success that they've had, it's because of physical sacrifices that they've committed, and yet I find that we're not redeemed with corruptible things. That gold and that silver are going to go up and down in value. That gold and that silver are going to tarnish. They're going to perish. They're going to come to the place that they're not going to be anymore. And yet, he goes on in verse number 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we look here at the price of the purchase. The price of the purchase is all because of the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb that was without spot, without blemish. Isn't it amazing that God Himself came in the flesh and He died and He paid the price for us, a sinner? It wasn't because we were worthy. It wasn't because there was anything that we had done to make us credible for it. It wasn't because we could repay it back. It was because of the love that He had for us. And He was willing to pay that price. And it was the precious blood of the Lamb. But I find as well not just the price of the purchase, I find the power of the protection. They overcame Him in verse number 11 by the blood of the Lamb. Boy, I think about what God sees when He looks at me. Now, if we were to look back at verse number 10, we'd find that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's brought the church up to God and said how the church has failed. And many times we give him the reason. We give him an accurate account of how we failed God. But he accuses us before God. But you know what God sees when he looks at us? If you're here today and you're bought by the blood, if you're bought, have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, then you've been bought. But when God sees you, he doesn't see that sinner. He sees his son. He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the acceptable sacrifice. He sees the propitiation for our sins. He sees the one that he sent to cover us. No, not just cover us, to cleanse us by the washing of the blood. And so I look and I find that there's a protection that comes with that purchase. And there's a power of that protection. It's the fact that the blood's still there. Brother James used to sing the song that the blood's still there. Boy, I'm thankful that that Passover blood, it was the fact that they had to apply that blood on that mantle, and then that blood was to be there. Oh, listen, as a child of God, that I've overcame Him, and I'm still overcoming Him, because the blood's still there. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Boy, I'm thankful that I'm sealed. Oh, Satan can't get to me. Why? I've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Because I'm sealed in that blood. But then I find as well, in verse number 11, he goes on and he says that they've overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, some of you would look right off the bat and you would say, "Well, preacher, that's because they had the right testimony about them." But may I tell you, the word of the testimony that it speaks of first and foremost is the testimony of the Lord, the Word of God. And so I look and I find that God's given us the ability to overcome Satan through His Word. You consider what the Word of God is. They had a sword. They had a sword. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God equips us with His Word. We could look back at Ephesians chapter number 6 and we could find the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Boy, I'm thankful that He doesn't send us out there without a gun. I'm thankful that He doesn't send us out there unarmed. I'm not going in my own power. I'm going to overcome Him because I've got the Word of God. I've got the sword of the Lord. And it's the only way we're going to overcome Him. It's not in what we know. It's in what God says. I had told you that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But may I tell you, it's also the truth. I showed you this morning how Satan's a deceiver. And he lies to us. And he tricks us. In Ephesians chapter 6, it was talking about the wiles of the devil. It's that trickery. He's trying to trick us. And I'm thankful that through the Word of God that we have it. It's sharp. And it's the sword. And they kept it sharp. You say, preacher, what was the point in keeping it sharp? Well, first of all, it was to shape them. You see, the Bible tells us here that they overcame and by the word of their testimony. Yes, that's the word of God, but then it changes and we look and we find that it's also the word of the testimony of those that overcame. There was something different about them. Listen, you can't tell me that the one that Satan is taking and batting around, playing with it like a mouse, that they've overcame by the word of God. They are just the same as the rest of this lost world. There's those carnal Christians, if we would, and I know that there's no such thing. That's an impossible animal to have a carnal Christian. Because carnal means fleshly, and Christian means Christ-like. And the two don't mix. I get that. But yet we find in this society today, those that are deceived, those that really haven't overcame, they say that they've got the Word of God. They say that they've applied the Word of God, but I'm telling you, if the Word of God is in your hand, and the Word of God is in your heart, then the Word of God is going to change you from the inside out. He's going to shape you. And so I look at what it's done to them. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If I was to be honest, and if you was to be honest, we know a whole lot of people that we had never asked spiritual advice from, although that they say that they believe the same God that we believe, and they believe the same Bible that we believe, but they only do that obviously on Sunday morning. And when it's convenient, and only if it's the right application, and if it's going to not offend them too much, and if it's only not going to cost them too much. And I find here that they overcame Him because God changed them through His Word. In James chapter 1 and verse 22 it says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And back over it, 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." What's He saying? He said that was the old. There's something that's new. You know, one of the things that Satan hates is when we crucify the flesh. Because that's what he's trying to speak to. He's trying to tell the flesh to ignore the Spirit. He's trying to tell the flesh to rear up. He's trying to tell the flesh and encourage the flesh to disobey. But I'm not going to be as a disobedient child. You know, there's areas in our family that as our boys have been, as they've grown, that we've always had them with love. We've nurtured them, and we've loved them, and we've cared for them, and we've cherished them and treasured them. But there were certain times, and there's certain things that not everything deserved a spanking. Not always did we give them the rod of chastisement with a physical rod, but instead there was times that it was maybe just, we need to sit down and talk with them. But disobedience is one of the areas that we've always had zero tolerance. Mom and dad tell you to do something, I didn't teach them to count to 10. I didn't teach them to count to 3. You see, all you're doing is teaching them that at 3, then you're going to get serious about it. They have till 3 before they need to do something. No, I taught them the same thing. Now listen, I'm not trying to compare my children to my dog, but the very same thing. When I tell my dog to sit, I don't want him to sit when he decides to sit. I want him to sit right now because I said sit. It's the very same thing with our children. We didn't teach them that at 3 you need to sit. No, we told them at 3 they need to mind. No, we just told them, when I say, that's when I want you to do it. Now, what we've decided is that we read the Word of God and then we apply it when we decide that we want to apply it. In James chapter 1 and verse 22 there, he said that be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. How many times are we hearers only? We hear it. I told you before that we can defeat Satan, but there's some that are only going to be hearers. They're not going to be doers. You're not going to apply all of these. You're going to say, well, I'm bought by the blood. I've overcame him by the blood. But did you notice there's a conjunction there? He said in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and. And then we're going to find the word of their testimony and. If we don't do all three, two of the three is pretty good, but it's still not defeating him in our life. It's still not bringing us to that place of victory. And so I look here and I find that we need to apply it. We need to do it. You see, for the word of the testimony to really have victory in our life is when we apply it. It's not the matter of knowing. It's the matter of doing. You see, I can know that the knife's sharp, but if I stick my finger under it and pull it back, it didn't matter what I knew. I wasn't very smart about it. And so I find as well that victory can be gained. The fact that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And so I find that we can overcome or we can defeat Satan by our affection for the Lord. Did I give you point number 2? Point number 1 is the blood of the Lamb. Point number 2 is by the proof of their lives. I'm sorry. And then point number 3 is our affection for the Lord. I wonder how many times we'd say we have a convenient love. A convenient love. You see, he said here that they loved not their lives unto the death. I don't have y'all here tonight, but I was speaking this morning about Michaela, and she's going to college, and I was using Allie and Michaela right there and as an illustration. And both of those young ladies have goals in their life. But I'd ask you tonight about all those goals that you've set in your life, and I wonder if God set those or if you've set those. Even for us in the farm, I don't ever want the farm to be a place where it consumes our life and keeps us from serving the Lord. I want it to be to where we can give glory to God through it. And so I'd ask you tonight, do you love conveniently? You know, as long as he's there and as long as everything's going the way I want it to, or you get into the place that you've left your first love. We're right here in the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, we find here about this convenient love. They were still doing. Listen, church, we're still having church. We just had it this morning. We've got everything cleaned and everything's ready to go for Wednesday night, and we're ready. We'll have it again. And listen, by the way, this is church. We're still having service. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Who's their first love? He is. The Lord is. And yet in Revelation 12 and verse number 11, he said that the way that they overcame him is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia." And so, I wonder if we've loved this present world, this present life that we have. If it's really, you know, Lord, that's great. I'll serve you. I'll be faithful to you, unless it's going to cost me. Satan's already got you, my friend. You haven't overcame anything. You wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the ground going your direction. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I wonder if He's ordering your steps or if you're in control. And really, if you're in control, you're not in control. And so I find a convenient love. Convenient love has no victory, but a committed love. A committed love has great victory. You see, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Speaking to an evangelist this past week, and I told him, I said, I really believe that all of this going on is to wake the church up. You see, God's dealing with the world through the church. That's how He deals with the world. He's put the church here to be that light. That evangelist had said, "You know, preacher, the men of God are going to have to really get close to God. And then we're going to have to bring it to our families and get them close to God. And then we're going to have to bring it to the church and encourage them to get close to God. And then we're going to have to bring it to the community." Oh, I agree. That's the way it's going to have to go. But you know what gets in the way? Our love. Our love. You see, Revelation 12 and verse number 11, it says that they loved not their lives. Now don't get me wrong. God's blessed us richly. Jeremiah was asleep this morning as we were getting around, and I just had to stop for a minute and praise the Lord for my three boys. How precious they are and how what a great life He's given me. Yesterday we were out driving, we were in the truck, and Sister Sarah was sitting right by me, and I just had to, she was kind of closing her eyes and laying back a little bit. And I just looked over at her and had to praise the Lord for the life that He's given me. Oh, listen, I love the life that God's given me, but I don't love my life to where I'm not going to give it to the Lord. You see, they love not their lives unto the death. The death. You see, they had already died to self and they were willing to die physically. They had already came to that place that God was first. They were committed all the way. Oh, there's some that need to be committed. We've got to come to the place where we're sold out. I'm afraid that more are for sale than sold out. I'm afraid that we've came to this idea that whatever's going to benefit me more, whatever's going to satisfy the flesh more, whatever's going to appease me more, instead of coming as the Apostle Paul did, and he said that I count all but dung. I've left it all so that I can live for the Lord. Don't let anything hold us back. I don't want anything to distract my life from being lived for the Lord. So that I too, at the end of my life, can say as the Apostle Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Can I ask you a question? Do you love the Lord so much that Satan can't sway your love? You see, the church in Ephesus there in Revelation 2 that we just read, they loved the Lord, but then they left their first love. I'd ask you tonight, What's your true love? What's your true love? You see, He's supposed to be our first and only. Not without reason. Listen, if you don't love Him, you'll never live for Him. If you don't love Him, you'll never stay close in the hard times. You see, that's why He gives us the picture of marriage. 27 years, Sister Sarah and I have been married. And I'd say we've had some difficult times before. I don't really go into them. I don't really dwell on them. But we've had some times that have been difficult. We've had some times that have been scary. We've had some times that have been hard. And you know, if she didn't love me, she wouldn't have stayed with me. And if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have stayed with her. May I tell you that Satan does that with you spiritually? He will get you to look over here and say it could really be better. You don't have to have that heartache right now. Isn't that what we try to do, is avoid heartache? We want all the good things and we want to avoid the heartache. And yet God said that just love me, because He's already proved His love for us. And so I'd ask you tonight, do you really want to become victorious? Do you really want to defeat Satan in your life? You can right now. I know you're going to say, well, preacher, that's when I get to heaven. This passage isn't for when you get to heaven. How are you going to overcome him? You can overcome him right now by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. Stick to the word of God. Let it change your life. Apply it to your life. And love him with all your heart. Follow him. Don't get swayed by Satan's lies. And you too can have victory and defeat Satan. Wouldn't that be great? Boy, you want to talk. I know it's crazy when your favorite team wins the Super Bowl or wins the College Bowl or whatever they're playing or whatever sport it is that you're watching. But could you imagine if the children of God would really have victory in their life? We come into church, and I know we're in social distancing, so it's going to be social distance high fives. We're just going to be able to high five each other. You say, boy, that was a good shot. Did you see old Satan get defeated over that one? Oh, I'm thankful he's got no power over me. I have the power to overcome him because I have the power of Christ resting on my life. You can have that victory tonight. You can overcome him. You can defeat him. The Bible said that they overcame him. This is how they did it. It's not some trick. It's not some secret. God said, no, this is how they did it. I'm going to tell you so you can do it too. They overcame him because they had the blood of the Lamb. Boy, I'm thankful I'm saved. I have the blood of the Lamb on me. Oh, then he said that they had the word of the testimony. They had the word of God, the same thing that we had. And then it had changed their heart. It had changed their lives. And they applied it. And then they loved me. If you'll do those three things, you can overcome him too. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I'm thankful for the success that we can have. That Satan can't defeat us, but we can defeat him. Lord, we can get it where we can say, get behind me, Satan. In the power of your name, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight, that we would truly see that victory can be ours, and victory is the design that you have for us. And Lord, that your desire, we shouldn't live in fear. You didn't give us the spirit of fear. But Lord, I pray that we'd have the attitude of victory. Lord, that we'd defeat him tonight in our own lives, that we'd come to that place. Maybe there's someone tonight that's lost and undone. They've never called upon you to save them. Lord, I pray that they would see their need before it's everlasting too late. They'd come to that place where they'd just cry out in faith, Lord, to receive that free gift that you've given, Lord, that purchase price. You say, preacher, they need to know. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not that they have to know every intricate detail. They've got to come by faith, trusting that you are the Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help them tonight. Call upon you. Then, Lord, I pray for that saint. Lord, I pray maybe there's some that Satan has just been having a heyday in their life. Lord, I pray that you would help them to defeat him tonight. Lord, they've been saved. They have the blood. They have the Word of God. They've just got to start applying it. Get into it. Lord, see how they too can defeat Satan through the truths that are written in your Word. And then, Lord, that they would just grow closer to You. A love that they need so much in You. Lord, help us. Take this message, Lord. Apply it to our lives. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.